I know. God just keeps going on and on and on and on with grace. We're already 2,000 years into the grace of God. When he's not taking people's offenses into account, when he is conciliated to the world through Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're born during this time. We're born during what I call a window. It's a window of grace. And that's when those going to close with the snatching away of the body of Christ. And that's when the fullness of the nations has come in accord with Romans 11:25. And God's going to pick up again with the people of promise. And he's going to do special things with them, just as he does with us. Hello, everyone. Martin Zender. We're looking into the 144,000 who are sealed, along with a vast throng. No, not a vast thong. No, I wouldn't want to see the wearer of a vast thong. But the vast throng, that's another story altogether. We have a selection of people that God wants to go through the day of indignation. And he discounts those days according to our Lord Jesus Christ, because if he didn't, then no one at all would be saved. So what he does is he allows grace to loiter. And it has loitered for 2,000 years now. But judgment, it's as if, this is why he tells us this, judgment is not even allowed to go its allotted time. So, again, absolutely speaking, it will go exactly its allotted time. But God wants to tell us that he's discounting the days that any might be saved. Again, so this keeps us from getting all high and mighty like we're preserving ourselves. And I think this is trans-administrational, if I may be so erudite, to say that this applies to us as well as Israel. Because endurance is the common ground between Israel and us. They're enduring and we're enduring. Anybody on this frickin' planet is enduring. So, you know, God wants you to get through. You'll have enough endurance to get through to the last day you have to get through, and he won't give you any more endurance. So I think that your endurance is going to drip like a coffee percolator, and just like Maxwell House coffee, it's good to the last drop, because you don't need any more than the last drop. That's my last drop of endurance. Oh, guess what? It's also the day of the snatching away. So if you feel like your endurance is dripping like a percolator, and like Maxwell House, you got one drop left, then that last drop will drop on the day of the snatching away, and you won't need any more endurance. In other words, God is going to give you as much endurance as you need to get through. Don't kill yourself. All right, I know many of you have handguns on hand, and, you know, just in case. Hey, okay, whatever, you know. But I don't have any weapons on me. I don't carry weapons. I'm not a fan of weapons, as I told you. Some people would want to fight the asteroid that would destroy Earth. I would greet it with open, naked arms. So I'm not afraid of the asteroid. I'm not afraid of robbers. I'm not afraid of anything. I am fearless. I am Martin Zender, the fearless. That's not exactly true. I shouldn't say these things. It's not exactly true. I do have my fears. What am I afraid of? You don't want to know. So let's go back to the scriptures here. Grace loiters on and on and on, and judgment is discounted. This shows us God's character. He's doing this. So he not only shortens the days, but he takes some people out of his elect people. So he has an election within an election. The election is Israel. But they're going through hell. Some of them will be martyred. That too is God's purpose. It's an honor to be martyred for the sake of the truth. Just ask Peter, James, John, Andrew. Every disciple was killed. Some of them in terrible ways. And so they were honored. Well, Peter and John were honored to be scourged, to be whipped in the synagogues in Acts chapter 5, because, well, their Lord was treated that way too. But others are going to have to go through it. Not going to have to go through it. Others, I guess to say, are honored to go through it. I always thought it'd be cool to be a Solomon. Like, if God's going to conduct an experiment, you know, like, let's see what happens when we give a guy everything and let's see if it satisfies him. I'll volunteer for that. So Solomon had everything, and he ends up writing Ecclesiastes saying, none of it's any good. Don't worry about it. I've tasted everything. I've had every pleasure this earth can offer, and it's dust blowing in the wind. It's all vanity. It's a waste. Doesn't satisfy me. Only wisdom satisfies me. Okay, if we could only take that guy's word for it, Solomon's. But we don't. We still want to win the lottery. We still want to make that extra 10 grand on the job. We still think that when we get that car, we'll be happy. When we get that husband or wife, we'll be happy. When we get that vacation, we're going to be happy. If we could just get rid of our dandruff or our bum foot or our appendix, we'll be happy. But none of this stuff will bring happiness. It's temporary relief. And I'm not saying you don't go for temporary relief. If your appendix is itchy, get it taken out. If your tonsils are swollen, get them taken out. But if your dandruff is acting up, then get Selsun Blue or some sort of medicated shampoo. I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm just saying that it's just going to get you by for another day. It's not going to bring you happiness. So there are, God is showing things. He's showing things by having people go through it. He's showing things by people having killed during it. He showed things with Solomon. I think the extremes would be Solomon and Job. Like God's saying, okay, I need two examples here. I need two people to volunteer for service. I need one guy to show us that having all riches and all wealth and all honor and glory on earth is no good. And I need another guy to show us that no matter how hard I kick somebody's ass, that I save them in the end and they realize that human pride is in the dust and that I'm still a good God. Yes, who would volunteer? We have volunteers for Job, volunteers for Solomon. Okay. None of us in our right mind would volunteer for Job. And really, none of us are even given the opportunity to volunteer for Solomon. There is no opportunity about any of this. The 144,000 are not opportunists. Those who were worthy to be killed in the day of indignation are not opportunists. We are not opportunists. We did not exercise our free will to decide to be saved into this magnificent calling, which is membership in the body of Christ. You were chosen for this before you were born, just as the 144,000, 12,000 out of every tribe were chosen ahead of time to be sealed to go through the day of indignation. There's an example in the scriptures of people going through. Some people get out of, some people go through. Look at John and Peter. Remember I said they are chosen within the chosen? Peter, James, and John, perfect example. We have, they're chosen within the chosen within the chosen. We have the chosen people, Israel. Within that, Jesus Christ picks 12 disciples. So those are the chosen within the chosen. And within that group, there's a subdirectory of chosen people, Peter, James, and John. They're spatial. And within that group, there's the disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John. So it was destined for Peter to be killed. Peter would be the type of those who would be traumatized, killed, persecuted during the days of indignation. That's why Peter's letters, 1st, 2nd, did Peter write a third letter? No. 1st, 2nd Peter are going to be huge letters for the Israelites suffering in that time. And then John's letters, John's was prophesied, Jesus said concerning John, what business is it of yours, Cephas, rock, if I should allow him to stay? In other words, John was going to survive to the coming of the Lord. He was going to be taken to the Lord's day and shown things. And it could be that John died a natural death or else died of, I don't know, a bad food on Patmos. I don't know what John died from. Or I think he died of old age. I think one day he just said, oh, that's enough of this, and gave up the ghost. But anyway, this for this, that for that. Everybody has a different calling. And this is part of the multifarious wisdom of God. And so we saw in the Israel's history, three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And their deliverance was in the midst of the fire because this showed the miracle. Most of God's miracles are shown as in contrast to great extremity, dire need, great danger. And so the fire they were cast into, the three Hebrew boys, was so great that those who cast them in were toasted like marshmallows or like burnt toast. They became a stench to the nostrils. However, what the heck happened to my lining? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were came through the fire miraculously. That's impressive. And so no matter what the powers of the New World Order, see, I mentioned that on purpose. Just the phrase New World Order is going to cause people to flock to this video. In fact, Travis, if you could, in the search terms, put New World Order, I'll get another 1,000 views because people loved those little catchphrases. Even though it's not a scriptural term, it'll draw the sensationalist to us here. So even those of the New World Order who try to kill these select Israelites who have a literal mark, I believe, on their forehead, a literal mark. Yeah, I'm serious. You know my rule. Don't make me go against my rule. My rule is literal if possible. Yes, I don't know. Maybe tomorrow I'll talk about that. Now, I still have to talk about what screwed me up on the snatching away, why I didn't understand the difference between the body of Christ and the 100. Yeah, no, that's right. Some people think they're the same, right? They think that the 144,000 are the ones being snatched away, which makes no sense whatsoever because obviously they're not snatched away. Yeah, that was my entire problem. I'll explain that to you. I'll probably have to do it tomorrow. But in the meantime, let's look, or maybe tomorrow let's talk about places in Scripture where things are sealed. We have sealing, and sealing is such a great thing. To know that you're sealed by God, it's so cozy, and so it makes you feel like nothing can get you. And indeed, nothing can get you when you're sealed. And so these 144,000, how would you feel? It's like you're in the day of indignation. Oh, that reminds me. But nothing can get to you. Nobody in the New World Order can destroy you. Remind me, I got to tell you about my experience at the post office. I'll do that tomorrow. Experience sealed. Yeah, this is a great truth of being sealed. And we're, of course, looking at Israelites being sealed. And you're probably, some of you out there thinking, why can't I be sealed? I want to be cozy and warm. Well, you're sealed beyond all sealing. And I'm going to end the week on that high note. I'm going to quit right now because I don't want to give this away before tomorrow. I want to bring you here. All these people, too, who have flocked to this video because of the One World Order. The One World Order. I am going to talk about sealing tomorrow. And I'm going to talk about why I was talked out of the snatching away. And I want you to avoid any such snares as to be talked out of the fact that you are going to escape this day of indignation. And no, this is not escapism. Oh, I got to write that down. Because I've heard some people say it's escapism. You just want to get out of your trials. And you don't want to go through everything God has for you. As if you're going to be able to avoid it anyway. Come on. How can you avoid what God wants you to go through? As if God responds to my wishes anyway. Oh, I wish I didn't have to go through this. And God's up there going, oh, Zender wishes he didn't have to go through this. All right, I'll just cut him some slack. And so I get to the dais of Christ, and God's like, oh, man, you missed out on some great trials. I said, what do you mean I missed out on? Well, I had some things planned for you, but you were whining. You wanted out of it, so we just, you know, didn't put you through that. It's like, since when do you do what I want you to do anyway? I said a lot of things down there. Why'd you listen to that thing? Why'd you listen? You don't listen to me anyway. Well, he listens to me, but he doesn't do what I want, and I'm glad. Sometimes I'll bitch and complain and moan, and then I'll say, just don't listen to any of that. I just do it to vent. You know, I know we're not supposed to murmur, but I find myself doing it, all right? Be patient. God's not finished with me yet. But as though it has an effect on God, as though God's, you know, up there has his feathers ruffled, Zender's murmuring again. My plans for him are all thrown out. No. Jesus Christ murmured. Maybe he didn't murmur, but he wanted out of the trials at Gethsemane. But he said, thy will be done. And that's the cry of my heart always. Thy will be done. Yes, I want out of my trials. Only an idiot doesn't want out of their trials, humanly speaking. But as I have told you many times, I'll say it again. I ain't coming back to this sicko planet. One time, I'm out of here. So I tell God, look, whatever I have to go through, don't cut me short. Let me go through it. Put me through it so I don't have to leave. Don't leave anything undone. No stone unturned and no turn unstoned, as I like to say. And God is going to be faithful to his word. And on the other hand, I tell him, don't go overboard either. Don't go overboard. Take it easy, all right? Take it easy on me. I'm only human here. So God knows all this. We're not going to get out of our calling. You're in it to stay. You're in it for good. God's going to finish what he started with you. You're not going to finish it. And rest in that until tomorrow.